the articulated buses are the backbone of our community, you know, the ones that cross on Central Avenue and all the major corridors. So without them, we'd have to double up on the fleet, of which, again, we don't have the money to buy the fleet replacement. So we think that the $150,000 that we're going to spend to rehab the engines and the pivotal points and the things that actually break is very prudent at this time. All right, so...
For clarification purposes, I'm going to refer to the budget agenda. Item 14490 was not acted on as Mr. Rogowski opened and closed the Public Safety Committee. So on discussion right now, as stated by Pat, are items 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 that refer to Bond Act T001N, the first two items, meaning 2 and 3, and then T001T, that's items 4 and 5, and item 6-7 for T034, maintenance facility. So all those items are for discussion. I have Mr. Harkin for comments, and then Mr. Rogowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, if you would, as you know, our meetings are streamed now. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand the relationship between the County Department of Transportation and Liberty and the buses and the schedules and the maintenance facilities. So if you could just take 2 minutes for the folks viewing at home, as they say, or people who may go to the website to watch this meeting, if you wouldn't mind just articulating that whole relationship.
Right. Westchester County owns the service. Westchester County owns the facilities. Westchester County owns the rolling stock. We, in essence, own everything regarding the B-line. We actually contract out with Liberty Lines to provide the management oversight to actually run the service on our behalf, similar to what we do at the airport with Avport. Okay. So the county controls the entire administrative process as well as budgeting. We come to the board for various funding requests in order to make it happen. But in essence, Liberty acts as our administrative arm, but the county provides the intelligence and the oversight and the management prerogative in which to pursue certain avenues on behalf of the county. So it's a similar relationship that we have with the airport. We control the airport budget. The airport comes to us for approval. We submit the budget to the board for approval. But Avport provides the day-to-day operations of the airport service, just like Liberty provides the day-to-day operations of the B-line buses. In terms of contractually, Liberty Lines is a union shop. Liberty Lines, all the people that work for Liberty Lines are TWU members. They are subject to TWU negotiations, of which we will start negotiations very shortly for a new contract to commence sometime in March of 12. We actually, before the agreements are actually executed between Liberty Lines and the union, the county actually approves the contract. We are involved in the contract negotiating process, similar to the MTA does. They have the last word in terms of whether, in fact, we will accept the terms. They negotiate on our behalf. They come to the administration for approval to actually execute the agreements. All right. We are constantly looking at bus service in terms of providing the best level of service to the traveling public. We control the schedules. We control where it stops. We do all the necessary administrative functions with DOT in order to make this all happen. Liberty Lines executes on our behalf. Every Liberty Line provides us with the intelligence and the operational day-to-day subtleties that one needs to do to make these decisions. So they are partners with us, similar to what Avport does for us at the airport. We're partners with Avport. But in essence, the county of Westchester controls both operations.
To that point, may I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Is it true that roots have they have the rights to the roots? You couldn't just come in and take over those roots?
That is an issue that we've had extensive review by the legal profession. Right now, in 2 years, we'll be required by the FTA to go out and solicit through an RFP process an operator. Liberty has operated the service for as long as I remember. But the FTA is now requiring us to go out on an RFP procurement for an operations thing. Similar to what's happening with all the operators in the region, Rockland County, as you know, has made the headlines recently. Rockland County happens to be ahead of us on this RFP process being forced by the FDA to do the same thing that we're doing. So we're actually watching them very closely in terms of how things progress. The state has determined that there is no value to the franchise. Again, that's why we're, again, that's why we have attorneys. But the state has determined that there is no value to the franchise if, in fact, we do not fund, if we do not fund the service, the public government does not fund the service, what's the value of the franchise if you have no rolling stock, you have no... So basically what they're saying is that they deem that there is no value. Now, there's an argument to be made because the Fifth Avenue Express, they're actually paid a whole bunch of money for that franchise. There's a whole lot of case law on the books. We've already begun the process of having our counsel look at this issue. We've had a report from the county attorney's office, but I think what we're really looking for is for Rockland County to take the lead for us. Because, in essence, they're subject to the same process that we are, except they're going for 18 months ahead of us. So we hope to have all these issues resolved. Any court challenges, any issues of franchising, I'm sure that it will happen in Rockland, just like it will happen here. So hopefully we can save on some legal fees by using Rockland County as our guinea pig, so to speak.
Legislative Myers on that point, and on that point is my cut. Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't the purpose of the RFP maybe we could get it less expensively? Isn't that the whole point of the RFP? I mean, you sound, maybe I'm reading between the lines, but it almost sounds like you think we shouldn't be doing an RFP.
No. I think the issue, there is, as you know, we're testing the paratransit market right now, the RFP we received a week ago, so we're analyzing those results now. The thing that we're concerned about is operating a service of this nature in a region that's heavily unionized. We're concerned about the kind of service of a large operator like MV or these large national operators who operate in a non-union environment because they operate across the country to come into a heavy unionized area and come in with numbers that are substantially lower than what we consider to be union wages. So it begs the question. It begs the question, and Marty understands this with the roofing issue. It begs the question, are we going to have a union issue with the TWU? The TWU is very concerned when we went out of the RFP with the paratransit. So the question here is that we want to make sure that what we're getting in terms of a number reflects what we understand to be the working conditions that we are working under. All right?
Oh, okay.
So, yes, if you come in with a non-union force, I can undercut you by 50%.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, will we have a strike? Will we have a major job action? Will we impact the public with something that we're doing? So we want to make sure that what we're getting apples for apples, not apples for oranges.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the kind of discussions we're having now with the paratransit low bidders in terms of what are we actually getting with these numbers?
Mm-hmm. Are oranges cheaper?
What?
Depends on where you're from. If you're from Florida, they're cheaper. If you're not. But so we're doing our due diligence to make sure that we're not just basing it off of price.
Right.
Because price has its implications. We can always get it for cheaper.
I see.
But the issue is
Explaining that. I didn't get that.
Yes,
Thank you. Just a question with regard to that. I'm just trying to understand this and I'm returning, the runs, it's a concept. It's not a tangible item. So isn't the burden of proof on them, not the county? So why would we have to incur, I guess, legal fees to prove it? Do you follow that?
Let me suggest you.
Yeah. That they own that.
I was chairman of transportation several years ago. I went through this. The commission pointed out New York City paid millions and millions of dollars. So, there's all kinds of arguments, but there's certain things happen. But this is a very good discussion, but I would like to suggest to the chairman that we maybe put this off to another time.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate discussion. There are two sides of it, and some of us, had some strong opinions, but maybe not pathetic. But if I could just ask, you made a comment about the money. Where does the Davis-Bacon Act come into this? I mean, there'd be federal funds, so, we all have issues and, support the unions that, but on the point you raised, I thought Davis-Bacon would not allow them to undercut wages. Am I missing something on that? There may be other issues, but I thought purely on wages, I thought the Davis-Bacon law would...
Davis-Bacon kicks in for a lot of the capital projects that we're doing under stimulus, okay? I'm not sure that Davis-Bacon applies to the operators.
I see. Okay, I'm just... Right. Okay.
Because Davis-Bacon, we're very vigorously enforcing Davis-Bacon on stimulus projects, capital projects.
Okay.
And it's the higher of the two rates, New York State prevailing rates or Davis-Bacon. And we put that in our contract to so we...
Okay, but maybe on the operator going forward...
We're not...
Okay. I'm not an expert on that law, but I recall from years past that Davis Bacon would have.
Yes, Davis Bacon definitely comes into play with the capital projects.
Okay.
But that's not an operating
project. And even that should be discussed with.
But keep in mind that you know, even our contractors, we are a prevailing wage county. We are not a union county. So, therefore, we enforce the prevailing wage in your state for construction, but we don't necessarily say you have to be union unless it's a PLA, and the PLA dictates a certain percentage.
Okay, good. Thank you. I do have a couple of questions. Just trying to follow, you know, we sit here as the budget committee, and we have to do budget amendments and transfers, and that's, especially people watching home, complicated enough. But I'm trying to understand what, in fact, we're doing with the money. There seems to be a schedule of replacement. I don't know if those are the hybrid buses we talk about. In the first paragraph, some of this money would fund the scheduled replacement cycle for buses, as well as the phase rehabilitation. So we're rehabbing 39 of the 78. I mean, I followed that, and that's the $135,000 per bus, and I did the math. It comes out just about right. That's on the rehab. but I'm trying to follow the other chunk of money that's going to a replacement. Are we replacing
the
hybrids?
The bus replacement program is done.
We're not buying
any more new buses. This is a very old grant.
Okay.
So the
replacement side is already done.
Right.
We finished all. We brought all the buses. Now we're just rehabbing.
Right. We're taking the remaining funds from that capital that we didn't use because we backed it up with initial error funds and reallocating it to a new articulated bus rehab program.
Okay.
So basically what the feds have allowed us to do was, rather than give the money back to them, we said, look, we have a huge need on the articulated side. We're not going to be able to replace these buses unless you have $7, $8 million sitting around somewhere.
Right.
So could we use this to extend the service life of the buses for another 5 or 6 years until everything pans out and we figure out where we go from here?
Okay, now those buses, they've all already been rehabbed in terms of the ultra-low sulfur fuel, so that is not part of this rehab?
They're all burning.
So we're doing, let's see, the engines, transmissions, compressors.
Yes. These are just things that wear out.
Right. Let me ask you this then, and I know Mr. Harkin has been very vocal on this issue, but as you're going through this rehab, do you have any dollars in that $135,000 to do some bike?
I wouldn't call it bike racks.
Not even racks, because some of us are out in Portland, and inside the... It's almost like a hook that you put a coat on.
I'll buy them a limo to take your bikes from A to B.
Well, seriously, I know, and I was willing to buy the argument a couple of years ago. Commissioner Sally said that these buses move around like chess pieces, and so you put a bike rack on the outside of the bus in the morning, and then the person in the afternoon, the different bus on that route, and you know, it was too, at least that was the argument back then, it didn't work. It was too complicated. We couldn't have a pilot. You had to put them on all the buses, or none of them, because you never knew where that bus was going.
We had a pilot program on behalf of the board.
The board still argued for a pilot program.
But it was canceled.
Was it?
Yeah.
But this is now on the interior.
They bought the bike rack.
There's two bike racks.
I mean, Commissioner, what we saw was very interesting. It was new to me. I don't ride a bike a lot. Mr. Nona does. But going inside.
Maybe not anymore.
He's still looking for the
right. But inside these really, almost like subways, there's these trams that we use to take around. People are walking in with their bus and hooking on the coat rack, so to speak. I mean, it was kind of neat.
I'm going to have Libby tell me how many bikes actually transverse our system on a daily basis. I would say it's probably less than...
Well, probably none, because there's no place to put them, I mean, at this point. Part of this rehab, I'm saying it probably can't be that expensive to put a couple of hooks in there, and it's done. I'll give some of my time to Mr. Harkin.
To that point, Mr. Chair, you know, I don't know if we want to rehash all this now. It's probably more appropriate for Mr. Ryan's committee. But to Mr. Rogowski's point, which is well taken, we had a lot of testimony from the bike community 2 years ago when we started this discussion about the demand and the need and the use would be there, which was why we were going to have that pilot project. And the president of Liberty said he was game. He said we'd do whatever we want. And one of Commissioner Sally's parting actions was to cancel the test. But there are over 500 municipal bus systems that have bus racks. We are really so far behind the curve on this. And one of the arguments that Liberty gave was they park so close in the bus garage that having the racks on them, even the folding ones, would be problematic. But the ones that Mr. Rogowski is talking about, are on the inside, particularly if we're talking about new buses. We can order them. So I for one, before we go ahead and order the actual work, would like to have a much more in-depth conversation on this and not have it brushed off, because what Legislator Rogowski is saying, I think, could be a solution to this that would address Liberty's concerns about exterior space and parking and changing of the routes, but would satisfy a rather robust interest from the bike community.
Okay, you know, Rich Stiller prepared, because Rich is an expert on bike racks, and I'm going to give you something that he prepared Saturday for this.
If I can, Mr. Chairman, get my time back. We mentioned bicycle racks. Let me say, to be fair, to Mr. Harker's point, I would, at this point at least, we're not buying new buses. I mean, this is we're following the money. We're rehabbing.
Right.
But as part of the rehab,
yeah.
As part of the rehab, we're doing driver seats, passenger seating, external lighting, all this good work. From what we saw, and again, these are big, long, articulated buses, and every seat is important at some point during the day, maybe, but I rarely see that big bus, you know, full standing, or maybe I'm missing it. You could probably take out one row of seats. I mean, literally one row of seats.
He did the analysis.
Okay, but that's because this is interior, so maybe it might be, depending on the configuration, might have to actually take four seats out. Then maybe that makes it a tough sell or not. But I think we don't have to wait for new buses. I think as we rehab these, there's a way of configuring them to put these bikes on the inside.
Let me give you the report. We'll take it tomorrow.
Okay, that's fine.
And see what we can do to minimize the seat loss.
Because I always thought the bike racks were on the outside. That was seeming a concern.
A big part of the problem is actually boarding the bus with a bike. You know, and particularly on the articulated buses, those buses are, as the commissioner said, the workhorse of the fleet. They are peak hours. They are crowded. You know, taking people up to WCC and the hospital and that, they are very crowded. If you have a bike and you're trying to get a bike and maneuver the bike through the people who are standing on the buses and trying to hang it up and the additional loss of seats, it becomes very, very cumbersome and it just adds to the congestion on the vehicles. Particularly as you're trying to get something up the steps.
I mean, that's correct, but as Mr. Harkin said, you know, for 100 some odd...
500.
500 are doing it. Somehow, people make adjustments. I mean, it's not. We're not breaking new ground. But anyway...
We will look at it.
Yeah, that's fine. I agree. And I think, other than that, Mr. Chairman, I think... Now these articulated buses, they're not the hybrid buses, right? Or are they?
No.
Right. And now, so at this point of technology, and then we have these buses are still too big, too heavy... For the hybrids to pull them, is that the issue? Is that basically why they're not, or just not, you can't rehab them into a hybrid for $135,000?
We'll rehab them in car.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Hsu, I just wanted to get some clarification. I'm not sure I understood everything. You said that there is a pilot program that there were. A test number of buses rehab.
Yeah, we retrofitted 3 buses to make sure they work before we actually asked for the transfer of the FTA funds.
Okay,
right.
And
so we did it last year with non-recurring, just to make sure they work. Mm-hmm. They've been in service for close to a year. Some of these rehab, they work fine. Mm-hmm. It was a good retrofit, and we also felt that, you know, we were able to utilize some of the mechanics with the service cuts that we would have had to lay off. So I think, you know, we're keeping them people employed at the same time modernizing our fleet with federal funds. So it's a win-win for everybody. Yeah, we didn't want to approach the feds about these transfers until we made sure they're back successful. Mm-hmm.
As far as the structure of the bus itself, mm-hmm. because looking at those articulated buses, it strikes me as quite a feat of engineering to keep them working. The structure itself is still within reasonable, useful life.
Yeah, I think FTA considers a bus for 12-year service life.
12 years.
12-year service life. So, and again, as we know, service life, some buses last more with the service life. And we feel with the rehab on the engine, some of the more movable parts, that we can increase the service life by another 5 or 6 years. So that should put us into the late century. Until we figure out where the whole ICD issue is. And, you know, obviously, we were able to be very successful to obtain a series of earmarks from, you know, Sue Kelly at the time and Louie, and we were able to squirrel up, you know, millions, similar to what we're doing on Cranewood Bridge. But the whole earmark program in D.C., I think, is literally dead. And so now, you're going to compete on an open basis for every other operations in the country that are in the same dire straits as we are in terms of the last time we've made a new purchase. So we're competing on a national basis. So I don't really see that happening with the climate in Washington anytime soon. So what we need to do is take our own initiative and get these buses to where we think they have to be just to survive another 5 or 6 years.
And with this particular type of bus, as far as you know, in other systems as well, there have not been problems with the non-moving parts creeping up.
Well, we'll address those as they come along. I mean, we clean the buses, we make sure that all salt's off. I mean, all the environmental things that cause deterioration on the buses, we take care of. As you know, we're undertaking right now a bus wash replacement program. And again, part of the maintenance program is to get all the salt off the vehicle, especially during the harsh winters. So part of it is maintenance. I think Liberty does an excellent job maintaining the fleet, as you know. If you've ever gone to the Liberty Garage, you can eat off the floor.
Oh, it's very cool.
Yeah.
If you haven't been, everyone should.
Let me know what you guys want to do it for, because, you know, we're actively starting the bus wash program. We've been doing this for about 6 months now. We've planned everything that could possibly happen on site. We're actually starting at the end of August. I hope to have the bus wash operational, a new bus wash, sometime before winter, so we can use it. So that'll be a really good program once it finishes. We'll arrange for the board to take a tour of it. It's about a $3 million bus wash. The bus wash components are actually made by Ross & White, which is the leader in the bus wash industry. They've been around 50 years. You can actually get replacement parts from them if you break down. Because right now, some of our bus wash components, we can't get brushes because no one makes them anymore.
But there's been no history of structural problems creeping up with these buses. Okay, great. Okay, thank you.
I hope you're using well water for the bus wash.
We're using it right out from the Somo River.
Right. Water rates are going up.
I don't want to think about what's draining.
Nice river water finish. Mrs. Meyer.
No, my question, well, actually, are we going to take up bikes later? I mean, we're not going to deal with bikes right now, because this leads to lots of questions.
With the commitment that the commissioner will get back to
We'll look
to
at
us.
The buses, we'll come up with...
Can I just ask one quick question?
Sure.
We place advertising on the front of buses?
No, because the window comes all the way down.
Yeah, so if we put a bike rack on the front, how are we losing ad revenue?
I really haven't
because he does say he
I
says
know that Larry Sally is intimately involved in this when he was doing this, so I really wasn't. I was just reading it with curiosity.
Okay. Yeah, he's also looking for direction. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, Rich is very thorough with things like this, so we'll take a look at it and come back with something that we think is workable for everybody. All right.
Thank you.
Other questions from Mrs. Marcotte?
Thank you. I just a general question. Is the entire fleet the same age? So various stages going forward, we're maybe replacing them at various stages?
If we have fun space.
Your ticks are over 2 years. We see those in two different batches. So that's why the rehabilitation works for the future to keep it going for the next 5 years. So we won't need additional funding for 7 or 8 years. To begin then the replacement, and we will be doing the replacement as well in phases.
Okay.
And then the rest of the fleet are newer.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll provide the board with a list of all the buses and what age. Some of them we do with multiple vehicles, so you get an idea. It's all staggered.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, working with the prior administration, I think I should put on the record that Larry Sally was very good at this, and obviously the board cooperated. We have, at this point in time, probably one of the youngest fleets, at least going back a couple of years ago, because we were pretty aggressive getting federal funding and going back over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years. So I would think to the commissioner, deputy commissioner, at this point in time, don't we have really relative to other systems one of the youngest average fleet, right? I mean, so I thought we were in good, you know, we did a good job over the years.
That's correct. The average is about 6 or 7 years. It's very young.
That used to be 12, and we've been over the years, we got it down and down. So to Legislative Marcotte, we've worked on that over the years.
Actually, we have legislation coming before the board in September to give away 12 buses or 11 buses.
18.
Right. We actually, with our service reductions, have an excess fleet based on FTA rules. So since these buses were purchased with FTA funds, and since they are still within a usable life period, for us to dispose of the buses, we can do one of two things. We can give it to another authority. We're looking to give it to Hart and Connecticut and MainDot within the FTA region, of which we would give it to them. They would take it and use it, and we wouldn't have to pay back the federal funds based on the remaining service life. Or if we were to dispose of it with a non-quote acceptable recipient, we would have to actually pay the feds back the residual value of these pieces. We cannot park them in Yorktown and just let them sit and use them for spare parts. So we've been very diligent in trying to seek out recipients that qualify under the FTA guidelines. And Hart's will take 4, Maine is willing to take 8. We have legislation that laws in the process for 6 or 8 that the board is submitting to the board for permission to dispose of these buses to these 2 other recipients of FTA funds that want the vehicles.
And as you present that, Commissioner, if you could present to the committee, you know, that we exceeded any possible local usage. You know.
Do you mean municipalities?
No. Meaning us, we absolutely don't need this bus.
Right.
We need to see this.
Right, it's based on our service levels, you know, every time we come to the board.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mr. Jagger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But just on that point, these buses that are being proposed, are you sending down the list? Don't we have a set of the paratransit? I know that we just passed legislation on the 1-year, lottery. For the paratransit vehicles, surplus vehicles, didn't we have a set of buses and that we would try with municipalities that have been waiting for longer periods of time?
We have those covered, right?
Not these buses.
No, these are standard coaches,
right?
I'm just asking, where's that piece of legislation to move those particular buses for these surplus vehicles?
Right. We're waiting for the board approved it. We're waiting for the 60 or 90 day mm-hmm. before the law takes effect.
Right.
And then we will dispose of the ones that have been residual for Pete's group and Regenarchus, and then we'll advertise the balance based on the legislation, you know, which has to go to the web. And I've had other municipalities already send me emails saying they're interested. I told them as soon as we advertise, I'll let them know, because it'll be posted on our website, you know, based on the policy of how we're going to do this in the legislation. Right. So we should be able to dispose of all the ones that people want by the end of the year.
Thank you. I just saw the lieutenant.
Right. We tried to fold the FTA buses into the legislation, but we found it was just too cumbersome to try to fold it, because then people would get confused when we started to give away the coaches, and that would be a real problem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions?
I just make a comment, because I just feel we're sitting here as a local government. Local governments all over the country are looking at these kinds of issues. We're about to vote on a transfer to accept these ARRA funds. I think it's great. It's going to save our taxpayers some money. But that's it. We're saving taxpayers money. And I just simply have to comment, because I guess I watch too much cable TV. All discussion in Washington about the stimulus and the failed stimulus and jobs. It's true. We are taking stimulus money and are going to take it to do something we were going to do anyway.
Correct.
We were going to rehab these buses and have these jobs. And so there's a lot of discussion about how the stimulus isn't working. It's not working so much to create new jobs. It's helping our taxpayers, and we're replacing funding. But it got sold the wrong way, you know, sold to create all these new jobs. It's to a large extent all over the country. I'm sure local government's doing what we're doing. We're taking the federal money, replacing our money, and doing the projects that were already on the books pretty much.
We've done anyway.
So it's all this discussion, yes, the stimulus, it's not working as a stimulus because it didn't go out beyond, to a large extent, what we're already doing. I'm happy we're saving our taxpayers some money, but that's what it's doing. It's replacing tax dollars. It really isn't generating a whole lot of new jobs. And it got spun the wrong way, I guess, or the program they created helped taxpayers, didn't create a whole lot of new jobs.
Mr. Shipsky, then Mr.
Jenkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mrs. Shipsky,
then Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To that point, I would just like to mention that what a lot of the focus of the stimulus was to save jobs. There are a lot of local governments that were in very bad financial straits and would have had to cancel a lot of the public works projects and a lot of the equipment purchases they had planned. So even if it, in certain situations it doesn't look as if the stimulus is creating new jobs, overall the stimulus actually saved hundreds of thousands of jobs in this country. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you. On that point, as Vyshynski just mentioned, we had many municipalities that Westchester was in a fortunate position because we had those particular projects on debt, and what this allowed was us not to have to use county taxpayer dollars to do this. We could use the federal stimulus dollars, but many municipalities in Westchester County were unavailable, they were unprepared because they were not at shovel ready status.
Right.
The only reason to be at shovel ready status was because you were ready to make a move.
So
that was your problem with this, because because of all the regulations that we have and all these projects, is this 12 to 18 month delay before you really start seeing things, especially on the road and bridges projects. But on the other point, Mr. Bogowski was raising, Mr. Chairman, on this piece of legislation. So my understanding from the discussion this morning, I apologize, I wasn't here for all of it, to say is that the RAC discussion will be a portion of this, or we just need to have on the record that we're going to come back to do this. Because one of the things I would be concerned about is that we would accept these dollars, and then with all the goodwill from Commissioner Hsu, that a decision's made that says, well, we don't want to be bothered with that later on because it wasn't part of the legislation. So that
I think it's two steps. First of all, these ARR funds, we either accept or we lose them. So I think that's one thing, and I'm not putting a gun in anybody's head. The issue of the bike rack has been a long-standing issue for a very, very long time. We'll review it again. I will come back to the committee. I will go back to the Liberty people and say, okay, to do this, what do we lose, and how can we do it, and where can we do it in a fashion that makes sense so that we don't inconvenience the regular rider versus the bicycle rider. As you know, one of the big issues that we're dealing with right now is security. We've installed cameras in all of our buses. We had a robbery last week and caught the guy. So right now, our approval rate in terms of capturing crime on the buses is increased several fold. As you know, we've just launched, for the last 15 years we've been doing this ABL thing where we can actually track in real time where the buses are. Our buses are not tracked at Liberty on a real time basis now. We're trying to figure out how we roll this out to the curbside so someone at a major depot location like White Plains and Rochelle can actually say, oh, the bus is actually a seat on a dot, it's moving, as opposed to looking at a paper schedule which gives you a framework for when the bus should be there if in fact all traffic conditions are so. The technology on buses have advanced to a point now where it's almost real time. And we spent a lot of money, a lot of time and effort doing this. So the bike racks are another part of this. I will revisit that. I will come back to the committee, as I said I will, and we will go over these issues to see what in fact makes sense and on which routes you think we would want to do this. Obviously, we're not going to do this on the northern routes where you'd have to drive 100 miles to get anywhere. So we're going to have to talk about more of the urban routes where there's a greater opportunity. Keep in mind that right now with the Yonkers Raceway, I'm running extra service in the Bronx, the track. I mean, that's my most profitable route. If I just ran the track route, I'd make money. But the people that are going through casinos are not taking a bike. So we're going to look at those issues.
Maybe they should. Taking a bike on the way home. I just want to make sure that it was reflected at least in the committee report and the acceptance of these dollars that could be a portion of the design work that would be done and work into. Because
I will come back to the committee and come up with alternatives that we think we can mutually implement that make sense.
Great.
All right. Well, we're continuing with this, we're kind of off on a different issue, but it's important that we're having this discussion. Mr. Jenkins, let me ask you and Mr. Harcum's absence, the two of you as sponsors for this legislation, which last week I committed to bring to the table to be part of this discussion. I have that legislation here, ready for members to review. Mr. Alvarado, I know, committed to, it was a one committee referral, he committed to bringing it on this morning. So is it your pleasure, you and Mr. Harcum, that this legislation get distributed, but we hold off until Mr. Hsu brings back his report and analysis on this?
I wouldn't want to bring back the bus rack issue. I need to look at this legislation needs to get voted on.
No. This is a separate piece of legislation. This is separate.
That would be the right approach.
Okay. As the members know, Mr. Harcum and Mr. Jenkins prepared a piece of legislation that dealt specifically, prospectively, with the issue of if we buy buses from a manufacturer, if we buy buses, the manufacturer goes through the production. During the production process, bike racks would be incorporated into the vehicle. That's what this legislation that you have not seen yet proposes to do. I agree because the topics are somewhat related to kind of dovetail into that next topic. But it is not, I don't bring it up to hamper in any way what we need to do with these six. In fact, let me just bring this whole thing on home now. Once again, we have six items, DOT items, and again, we have three sets of bond acts and capital budget pieces. These are amendments, all right? Two of the three are older items that we need to amend, both in the capital budget and the bond acts, because of the receipt of ARRA funding, federal funding, that will change the local share, non-local share of these projects, and obviously we need to reflect these things in the capital budget and bond act when we do that. The third piece, I'm very proud to say, it deals with the articulated buses, the backbone of the fleet, these units that are so efficient and economical to run in our system. Who was the state legislator years ago that got this passed for Westchester?
I think it was Chairman White at the time. Okay.
No. Actually, when I went into the State Assembly in 1983-84, this is the first legislation I passed as an assemblyman to allow Westchester and all transit systems in the state to run the articulated bus in their system. So anyway, that said, we have the third piece, and that involves the new bond issue and the need to deal with that, as well as the capital budget amendment that covers this articulated bus rehabilitation. So those are the six items, the three sets, and I would like to have a motion for both committees on these six items at this point.
Move for budget.
Move for transportation.
Okay.
Second for both committees.
And we have a second for both committees. One final time on discussion. Any further discussion?
Jimmy, just a question from law on the capital budget items themselves. We have received in the past assertions from the law department that if we try to make modifications like adding a rack on the bus that we're doing, that would need to be part of the original or the modified capital budget amendment. So that is a question of whether we have to do that now from law, because that was what we were told for different items, for Miller House, for example, that we had to create a new act because the moving of the Miller House wasn't part of the capital budget that we adopted, the bond act that we adopted. So if we are to consider the good work from Mr. Siller and the team and Liberty Lines on what kind of things we might add into the buses as a prospective going forward, the question is, would that need to be part of this act now?
Okay, now let me see if I understand you. With respect to the remaining 75 buses, articulated, that will go through the rehabilitation program, with respect to those, there's the engine, there's other things that have been specified in the documentation. What you're saying, Mr. Jenkins, is if one of the things to be looked at as these 75 roll back into the system after each has been rehabbed is the addition of some type of bus rack internally, all right? Whether that happens or doesn't happen, to prepare for the possibility that it might, you're saying, does language need to be amended at this point in this particular
and the bond act, yeah.
Item before us, this bond act?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have anybody from
the county? Let's, Mr. Hsu, I don't know whether we have anybody from the county attorney's office. Any, I mean, you've been through a million of these. Any thought before we?
I don't think there's a harm because, I mean, to add a clause that says,
yeah,
including or not excluding bike racks, based on some feasibility study, some agreement, I don't think that's an issue.
Right. Okay.
It's just a placeholder.
Right. Okay.
Well, it's, I want to make sure we need to pass this for the hour funding. So we have to do something today.
Right.
Now, I just say, you know, I don't want to play lawyer here, but just reading even just, you know, the cover letter, the description, this $135,000 is going to do a whole bunch of things. Several laid out, another miscellaneous replacement. So, again, I'm not playing lawyer, but the addition or subtraction of bike racks or two screws here,
get mention it in
two
there
screws there.
Get it over
but I want to make sure we pass this thing now. So
yeah, well, we're passing this today.
We're passing it. And again, if we can add some language and move forward, that's fine. But it seems that this is the type
this
of
the time to do
detail
it.
That there's probably a half a dozen things we're doing in the rehab that are not listed here. Mm-hmm. That's the only point. Like, I'm not trying to play lawyer here, but we haven't defined down to the last screw and nut every item of the rehab.
Okay.
And so whether or not the bike rack could just be another...
I don't think it's a deal breaker. So
Kenny's raised
a
legitimate point, and I don't know whether this rises to the level, but we need to pass this today.
So put it in. So to Commissioner Hsu's point that adding that line is not going to make or break this particular thing, is giving it a placeholder on this particular item.
If the board
where would it be
asked?
Can you offer the amendment now, Mr. Jenkins?
I would just, from a line perspective, having the law department add that line in that just gives the consideration for some type of rack, whether it's internal, external, whatever that is, to add that line in. I would certainly, Mr. Chairman, certainly move forward on voting on this particular item, not holding it up to come out of committee, with the agreement that we'll have that line in.
That line
absolutely. In fact, specifically what we're talking about, let me read the language. The rehabilitation program will cost approximately $135,000 per bus, and will include, and of course this language isn't meant to be all inclusive, it's will include engines, transmissions, air conditioning, compressors, wheelchair lifts and securements, radiators, driver seats, accordion sets, passenger seating, exterior lights, turn. In my view, it would be easy enough to put in the three or four words that speaks to the bus. Okay. All right. Are we all in agreement that this is what we're going to do with this piece?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once again, is there any other discussion on the six items, including this last one, with this minor amendment to add additional language dealing with the possibility of bike rack equipment?
And I'm sorry, so that's for the articulated buses. In the Bond Act, Mr. Chairman, for TE-001N, is there similar language that needs to be added into that 7?
Well, that involves buses that are already in.
Right.
They're already part of the fleet. This is just more. This is kind of accounting, bookkeeping stuff.
All right.
All right, I'll take one final question on this. We really have to move forward.
Just a thought, and again, not an attorney, but I would prefer if that language was more on the generic side, possibly to say something to the extent possible, and the inclusion of bike racks. You know, absent that language, I think, but then would you be held to doing it if you couldn't do it, if it were to be determined that by doing it you were actually going to decrease revenue from the advertisements? You know, just so no one's bound to do it. So someone can't, a year from now, look back and say...
Honestly, I think we're taking this to a low...
I agree, but honestly, I think your
point is well taken by everyone around the table, and I certainly respect it. I think that there comes a point where I think we can start to go down a path where we're still sitting here at 6 o'clock next Monday night. And so we don't want to do that. I think that the general language added to the long laundry list of things that appear in here now, that's what we're going to go with. That's what's on the table. I have a motion. I have a second on all six items, both committees. The discussion is now concluded. I'm calling for a vote. All those in favor, both committees, all six items, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, opposed? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, at this point I would ask Vice Chairman Rogowski to continue to cover the meeting for the next two items we have listed in budget and appropriation, Mr. Rogowski.
Sure. And at this point, I'm going to call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
The Public Works Committee, is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you very much for your work this morning.
So, on budget and appropriations, I'll inform you that I, specifically Monday, I am not here. I had planned not to have a meeting. If there is a need, the vice chairman, as he will be covering for me from
next
this
Monday.
On, yeah, there should not be a meeting. There don't seem to be many items that are presently signed, so